It's 6:45. Good morning, I'm Anthony Renault with KRWG News. Texas state lawmakers have given final approval to allow people to carry handguns without a license, background check, and training. The Republican-dominated legislature approved the measure on Monday, sending it to Texas Governor Greg Abbott. The governor has said he will sign it despite the objections from law enforcement groups who worry it would endanger police and the public, as well as gun control groups who point to the state's recent history of major mass shootings, though those were primarily carried out with assault-style rifles. The bill's supporters say it would allow Texans to better defend themselves in public. On the Tuesday Health Watch, new CDC figures have confirmed the American Medical Association's predictions of higher overdose numbers from illicit opioids during the pandemic, 90,000 nationwide. 4,000 were in Texas, the highest number among states. KERA's Sam Baker talked about this with Dr. Carl Kleinschmidt of UT Southwestern Medical Center.
The suspicion is that folks with addictions are suffering some of the same challenges as those who do not have addictions, which includes increased social isolation from others. And if you have underlying, let's say, depression and some other psychiatric illnesses or mood disorders, that isolation is not necessarily a helpful thing. And since there is a big overlap between those who have addiction and those who have psychiatric illnesses, everybody has found that to be more difficult and more stressful. Well, understand that stress is the underlying ultimate thing that results in so much substance use. So when you have an addiction and you are stressed, your addiction brain kicks in the gear, the cravings become very great. And how do you handle that stress? You use your drug.
The overdose rate, though, was highest in Texas. Why such rates in this state?
It's possible. It's because it's only in the last year or two that we're having more of the synthetic opioids like fentanyl. They're more potent than heroin. These are the ones that have been contributing to overall increased death rates in recent times with the illicit opioids. We've not had much of the fentanyl variants, but that's changing now in the last year or two.
The American Medical Association says policymakers need to remove barriers to evidence-based care for patients with pain and those with a substance use disorder. Do you agree with that? And if so, what type of barriers are we talking about?
I would certainly agree. We need to continue to make access to treatment easier for our population out there that have addictions. Probably some of our biggest barriers are with the neat class of opioid addictions. We have three different FDA-approved medications to treat the disease of opioid addiction. There's methadone, the buprenorphine product, of which there's a number of trade brands out there, including Suboxone, and then there's another agent class, naltrexone. Since the 1970s, when methadone gained its approval to be used to treat opioid addictions, the laws were set up so that could only be done within a methadone clinic. Now, any physician licensed with the DEA can use methadone to treat pain. However, if you're using methadone to treat addiction, then that can only be done at one of the federally registered methadone clinics. Methadone cannot be prescribed to treat addiction by anybody. Then along in the early 2000s came buprenorphine. Any physician, or actually advanced practice providers also, with additional training, 8 hours for advanced practice providers such as nurse practitioners or physician assistants, an additional 24 hours of training, they could prescribe buprenorphine to treat opioid addiction. So this is a wonderful advancement. However, you still have to do the extra training in order to use buprenorphine to treat addiction. And that certainly is an additional barrier. You know, we were very close to that change in terms of no longer having to do the extra training in the final days of the Trump administration. And that got changed very early in the Biden administration, albeit President Biden and the administration certainly are supporting to elimination of that barrier. We certainly anticipate that will happen at some point in time in the future here.
Even if you do manage to get those changes made, is that enough to deal with this problem?
Our problem is that not just the lay public is ignorant relative to the disease of addiction, but really most healthcare providers are ignorant also in terms of addiction and its optimal management. Not because the healthcare providers don't want to know. It just has never been a classic part of training. And one of the biggest misunderstandings, both by the patients and healthcare providers alike, is the classic question of, why would you ever do methadone or why would you ever do buprenorphine? Because aren't you just trading out one drug for another? And most folks are unable to answer that question. And so because of that question, that's a huge barrier for people starting to change medicines. I mean, I have patients all the time. We finally get them to change medicine, and their family and friends are saying, don't do that, man. Nobody can get off methadone once you're on methadone. And so there's this huge misunderstanding. So these things that we need to teach healthcare providers and the lay public to help break the stigma of addiction, to help people understand that addiction is a disease. This is not a willpower type issue. And that's a lot of education for lots of folks.
Dr. Kleinschmidt, thank you so much for being with me.
Thank you very much for what you do.